What's your life like? What's your life like? And I would like you to turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Now we're going to start here. And then we're going to look at another passage of scripture. And then we're going to go to another passage of scripture. And it's there we'll kind of get the determination of what it is we're actually talking about tonight. But to start with, we need to understand kind of the importance of why we're going to get there and how we're going to get there. So if you're in Galatians chapter 2, the first thing that we kind of need to understand is just what this verse here in chapter 2, verse 20, kind of presents. It gives us a thought, and it's a very important thought. And I'll explain that as we read or after we read it. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It's an important truth there. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That truth there that we are looking at is the life which I now live. And we have to understand with this truth, it's not my life, but it needs to be his life. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you're saved tonight, and if you are living a life, your life is not yours. And this life which you now live has a very profound truth that we must understand. There in Galatians chapter 20, we are going to, this is where we start. But we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to do some flipping pages. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. And Lord, we ask that as your word is opened and your truth is presented, Lord, that we would hear what you desire us to hear. And Lord, as your people, we would respond as you desire us to respond. We ask for grace and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. The life which I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the first truth we need to understand. If I live a life, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's flip over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. And there we are going to see what the life which we now live was created for. I live a life. I live the life by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. But this life which I now live was created for a purpose. And we are going to look at that purpose in Ephesians chapter 2. This is probably a very familiar passage of scripture to all of us. If we were to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9, the Bible is so clear. It's one of the places that we love to go when we're dealing with somebody about the gospel. But in chapter number 2, verse number 8, we'll get this for context. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse number 10, this is the life which I now live, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The life which I now live is created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's a truth here that we're looking at tonight. And the question I asked, what does your life look like? Your life can look like a life of the flesh, or your life can look like the one that was created unto good works. Which life are you living? Which life are you living? Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, it tells us as Christians that our life was created unto good works. That tells me that the purpose of my salvation is not to just assure me a home in heaven. And I am thankful that I am assured of a home in heaven. I have eternal security. Nothing in this life, nothing physical nor spiritual of myself or without me can take me from the Father, saying, I'm saved. It's not by works of righteousness which I have done, but it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. My salvation's got nothing based on me. But my life, which I now live in Christ, is not just dealing with the salvation that I have been blessed with. It's not just dealing with the salvation that I've been gifted with. It's dealing with, for ye are his workmanship, created unto good works, which God ordained that ye should walk in them. Good works. Now, when we looked at Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, it says, the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Now, there is the first example of the good works that our Christianity should be based on. It's based on his work, the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. That is the basis of our exercise in good works. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, when it says, ye are his workmanship, created unto good works, it establishes this truth that we are to sit around and do absolutely nothing. Oh, I read that wrong. No, we're to work. We are to... I have to swallow to get that word out. Work. Good works. Now, the book of James illustrates perfectly how our faith is to be revealed to others. I show you my faith by my works. You have a Christian that comes around and saying that they're a Christian and saying that they're faithful and saying that they're this and they're that. If they do not have the works to back up their mouth, no. Show me your faith by your works. Don't show me your works by your faith. Show me your works by your faith. If a faith, the Bible teaches there in James, if faith hath not works, it's dead. Because if you've truly trusted Christ as your Savior, and if he's saved you, and the Holy Spirit of God is working in your heart, and you've got the truth of the Word of God at your fingerprints, the Word of God is going to be evident in your life, and the Holy Spirit of God is not going to let you forget his Word, and he is going to perform a work in you, a work that he started, and he will continue to perform that work in you until the day, until he's done performing the work, because God's perfect. And he's going to finish what he started. I might not finish what I start. I might start things in life and I might fail at finishing it. But God finishes what he starts. He accomplishes his purpose. Whether we glorify him by choice or we glorify him by default, God's going to get the glory and the honor that he wants and that he deserves. But as a Christian, I am created unto good works, and it's my purpose to perform those works. Now, we might have to define what good works are. For the sake of time, we are not going to go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're not going to spend a lengthy amount of time examining the works that Christ established to his own disciples, that, hey, you're supposed to have attitudes that reflect me. You're supposed to have actions that reflect me. The decisions that you make in your day-to-day life are supposed to reflect me. Good works in the life of a Christian are the actions that we take that reflect his goodness. That's what a good work is. A good work is where I simply just say, hey, he's my master. I'll yield myself to his purposes. You know what? That makes good works. I mean, that means anything that you do for God can be a good work. That means working in the nursery is a good work. And yes, ladies, please work in the nursery. Amen. Bless your heart. Cleaning toilets can be a good work. Sometimes we want to quantify what we think is a good work and put it on a level of scale where going out and winning the lost is like the best work of the Spirit that you can do, and that's it. You do that, and that's it. That's where it's done. No, a good work is simply where you yield yourselves to the Master's bidding. So we can establish this. We can establish these truths. The life which I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. I live a life. That life that I now live is a life that was created unto good works. So I'll make this statement. As a Christian, if I am not performing good works, I am not living the life which I was created to live. I'll say it this way. As a Christian, if I am not yielding myself to the service of God, in whatever capacity it is that he desires of me, I am not living the life that I have been created to live. We see in our world today many people that just struggle because they are not living up to their potential. They are not living to what they've been created to do. You've got a lot of men that are identifying themselves as something that God did not create them, and they are struggling. I've worked with many people that identified as something that God did not create them to be, and I'm going to tell you, they struggled. Do you know why they struggled? Because they were not living up to what they had been created to do. As a Christian, if we don't live up to what we've been created to do, we are going to struggle because God desires this of our life, and if we are not yielding that to him, we will struggle. Oftentimes, if it gets so bad that not only do we not yield to God what he desires, if we don't yield to him what he desires, our life is not just going to stay there. By the way, if we don't yield to God what he desires, by default, we are going to go opposite of God. Look at Saul. God said, Saul, I need you to do this. Saul's like, I want to do this. The man of God said, Saul, why didn't you obey God? Saul's like, I did obey God. No, you didn't. He failed to yield to God that which God desired. As a Christian, we can get ourselves into trouble when we do not yield to God what he desires. But this is the beauty of it. God knows that we're just frail. And the best that we can offer God is still the best our flesh can give. Let's go over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, the Word of God says something. I love this. But in Titus chapter 2, if we look at verse number 7. Verse number 7 of Titus chapter 2, the Bible, if we just a little backdrop of the passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, he's instructing Titus on things that people just need instructed on. The aged men are to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. And he goes on giving instruction to different people at different life stages. And he gets to the young men, and he says something about this, about to them, and it says this, in verse number 6, it says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyselves a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. But I like that in verse number 7 there. It makes this statement, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. I like patterns. You see, somebody can give me a job to do and say, do this and do that and do that and that. And I'm like, okay, got it. What did you say? A pattern can be just a set of instructions. A pattern can be a blueprint. A pattern can be something designed that when applied, you get the desired result. Anybody know anybody that has ever sewed an article of clothing before? My wife being a seamstress, she has tons. And I mean, I don't know how many times I've moved. We've moved to Oklahoma. We moved in Oklahoma. We moved from Oklahoma. And tons of patterns. Patterns. A pattern is the picture of what something is to be. And if you miss things in the patterns, the end result's not going to be right. Take a pattern for a shirt. I like shirts, but I want my shirts to have both sleeves. You forget that side of the pattern, you might come up with an end result, but it's not going to produce the result that is desired. Unless it starts some new fad, I don't know. No, you have to have the parts of a pattern. In order to get the parts of the pattern, you have to develop something. There's different areas that have to be developed. Different parts that have to be developed. and to make a pattern of good works, that means I don't wake up one day and have everything in line. That means I have to develop the pattern, show myself a pattern. So I wake up and I start this in my life. Say you struggle in devotions, and you struggle in your prayer life, and you struggle walking with God. You struggle with faithfulness to church. You struggle with giving. You struggle with that. And you know, if you wake up and said, I'm going to fix all that right now, you know what you're probably going to do? You're probably not going to fix all of it right now. You know what you can do? Hey, I'm going to start being faithful in reading the Word of God. And I'm going to develop a pattern of reading God's Word in my life because it's a good work unto Him. And you take that and you make it a pattern, a part of your life. And then you move on and you develop another pattern of walking with God. You get the picture here? It's almost like getting out of debt. Which, from what I hear, if you have a ton of debt and you try to pay it all off, it doesn't work the greatest. But you pick what you can do, and it starts working. Been through enough finance classes to know that. But a pattern starts by making steps and introducing things to one's life. We must show ourselves a pattern of good works. There's two things that are important to take note of there. Number one is that you would show yourself a pattern. How many of you have patterns in your life? Okay, we'll use the word habits in your life. Things that you just do. Now, I've mentioned this before, but you can determine somebody's lifestyle by the habits that make up their life. Some people always wake up a certain time of day and they always go to a certain coffee shop, or maybe one just with the same name of the coffee shop, depending on what. And they do these things, and before you know it, the next day is the same thing. And the day after that, it's the same thing. It's really no different for a Christian. It's really no different for a Christian. You can develop the proper patterns in your life that reflect God in your life. You will have patterns in your life. The question is, what does your patterns look like? Because if you have patterns that reflect God in your life, you're going to have a pattern of good works. However, the problem is, oftentimes the pattern that we have in our life does not reflect God, it reflects our flesh. And if the patterns that we have in our life are all about our flesh, God will not be reflected, and the works that we have in our life will not be good works. They will be the works of the flesh. And then we go to Galatians chapter 5 and start looking at either the fruit, the works of the flesh, or the fruit of the Spirit. How do you determine what kind of works that you have in your life? You determine what kind of works you have in your life, but what kind of fruit you have in your life. See, if you have the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to have some things in your life. You're going to have love. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. Those things are things that you're going to have in your life. We have to ask ourselves a question sometimes. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Is this fruit evident in my life? Because if it's not, it means I don't have that work, the work of the Spirit in my life. If I don't have that in my life, it's because I am operating in the flesh. And if I don't have the fruit of the Spirit in my life, I'm going to have other fruit in my life. If I don't have peace in my life, peace is the absence of something else. See, if I don't have peace in my life, I'm going to have strife in my life. I'm going to have discontentment in my life. If I don't have the love in the fruit of the Spirit, if I don't have love, and that love it's talking about is the fat sacrificial love that Christ had when he gave of his own precious blood to redeem my soul, sacrificial love. If I don't have the love of God in my life, I am going to have a fleshly love for myself. I'm going to be either doing one of two things. I am going to be seeking to please God, or I'm going to be seeking to please me. To some of you got that cue and you're pointing at yourself and almost said, I'm seeking to please you. No. What's the truth there? I am either pleasing him or I'm pleasing me. The fruit of the Spirit is going to reveal a love for God. Works of the flesh is going to reveal a love for me. I'm going to have a pattern in my life. My pattern will be either a pattern of operating in obedience to the Spirit of God, good works, or my life will have a pattern of operating in the works of the flesh, pleasing self. I will have a pattern. You have a pattern. The pattern, in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, you are to show yourself a pattern of good works. That's instruction. That's instruction. The Bible tells us to show ourselves a pattern. It tells us that you are supposed to have a pattern. In your life is supposed to be evidence of a habitual surrender to the service of God. That's having a pattern of good works. But let's flip over to Titus chapter 3. For most of you, it's on the other side of the page. For some of you, you have to flip your page. You have to actually have to work. But Titus chapter 3, verse number 14, says this, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." Well, that verse is packed. It tells us, so chapter 2, the instruction is that you show yourself a pattern of good works. It means you have to introduce those in your life. It means they need to be revealed in your life. They have to be exercised in your life. They have to be practiced in your life so that when God looks at you, he sees a pattern of things that he just desires that you do. And that's what God wants. The Bible tells us about in Proverbs, a child is known by his doings. He's known by the things that he does. We are known by what we do. Is that good or bad? So have developed the pattern. But beyond that, chapter 3, verse 14 tells us to maintain good works. Now there's a few thoughts in that verse that are crucial to each and every one of us. Number one, maintain. See, I can't get to the point where, all right, I've developed this in my life, I've developed that in my life, I've developed that in life, I'm faithful to church, I know how to read my Bible, I can pray, I got all this developed in my life, now I'll sit down and just coast. No. Maintain good works. Maintain your attitude of commitment and surrender to God. When I was younger, I was always told, just keep a tender heart. Just keep a tender heart. We got too many hard-hearted Christians. You know why we're hard-hearted? Because we're too busy doing our own thing. And if I'm too busy doing my own thing, and the Spirit of God is saying, no, do over this, and I'm too busy doing my own thing, I'm getting like, not now. No, we need to develop a pattern of surrender so that we can just be about the bit that which pleases our Father. Christ was, I must be about my Father's business. That was Christ's attitude. You want to look at someone who lived good works? Look at Christ. I must be about the things that please my Father. I must be about my Father's business. He was interested only in the things that please the Father. That was Christ. And you saw that, his compassion and his desire for those around him and those multitudes around him, how he was moved with compassion. His only desire was to serve. Oh, boy. That can be convicting. But I need to maintain good works in my life. You know, that has to do with effort. I have to try. I have to be aware. This is something that's supposed to be in my life. Therefore, I must exercise it to keep it to my life, in my life. It's not going to happen by default. It's not going to happen by trying. It's not going to be happen just because I put my best foot forward and I try to will myself into Christianity. No, I must, all right, bow before him and say, Lord, keep me in your service. I have to maintain. But it gives us a reason why we are to maintain. And it's what I like about the Word of God is often presents us with the truth, but an importance behind the truth. There's a reason, Christian, for us to maintain good works, to have good works and to maintain good works. There's a reason for it. And this is what the picture of our life is all about. Because your life will picture something. In order for it to picture Christ, it has to have the patterns of Him. And you have to maintain those things. Because if we don't, Titus chapter 3, verse 14, as we did just read it, and it's going, it explains to us why this is important. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. Necessary uses, needed uses, important uses, urgent uses. And there's a cause. When David was at the front lines and his brothers were telling him that he just came here because of this and that, blah, blah, blah. He said, is there not a cause? The God of heaven, His honor, His integrity has been violated by the image that this world is, and their actions. And they're saying that He's dead. They're saying that He's not alive. They're saying that this old religion of the past is nothing anymore. We're just going to do what we want to do. Is there not a cause? Necessary uses. There's a purpose. There's a purpose in going out and reaching people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a purpose of going out and getting kids and getting them on the bus and bringing them in here so that we can introduce them to the very God of heaven that loves them and gave His Son for them so that they also might be redeemed. There's a purpose and a reason for us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that those walking through those doors in the back there can sit in these pews and hear that they are a sinner and that there is penalty on sin, and that is a just God that has established that, but He also extended grace that if they just acknowledge and accept Him, it would. There's a cause. That is a necessary use. See, the good works of your life and my life should be things done in such a way that it extends God's grace to somebody else. See, if my good works are just a work of Christian charity, what good is it if someone's lost and I give them a blanket? I might make them warm. But there's far too much in Christianity today that's only about meeting the physical need. That's not what works are about. Good works are about meeting the spiritual need. Life of every individual. Sometimes a way of beginning to reach that need is through a physical work. Christ made that quite plain. He would deal with spiritual needs beginning with a physical issue. He was a master at it. But His focus was on the spiritual issue. And that's where our focus needs to be. We need to maintain good works for necessary uses. Not only do they maintain for necessary uses, these works must also be maintained that ye be not unfruitful. Isn't that what it says here in verse 14? Maintain good works for necessary uses that they be not unfruitful. You know what? I've had few trees in my life. I can't take credit for planting them, but I remember a few apple trees when I was a kid, and I loved them, and it was great. But a truth became very evident. If you don't take care of it, it's unfruitful. If you just let it go, do whatever it wants to do, it's unfruitful. When I lived out in Ferndale, the guy that lived all the way down at the road, he had this orchard. He was always out there trimming, prepping, working, keeping his trees fruitful. That's what God wants to do for us. But what God does is He presents us with, I need to cut this branch off. Will you let me? A good work is when we yield ourselves to the Master. Whether that's going out in service, or that's just accepting His work in our life, it's just doing whatever the Master asks us. That's a good work. But if we don't maintain good works in our life, there in chapter 3, we'll be unfruitful. When we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Titus chapter 3, if we do not maintain good works in our life, we will be unfruitful. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I do know this about you. There's going to be a day each one of us is going to give an account to Him for how we served Him, whether our works be good or bad. We are going to work. There are going to be works in our life. We either work in the Spirit, fulfilling the Savior's bidding, or we will work in the flesh, fulfilling our own bidding. I have to maintain a spiritual walk with God that I might have good works, so that I can maintain good works, so that I can bring fruit to the Savior. Because He's going to say, "Didn't I do this for you? I gave this for you. What have you given for me?" There's going to be a day I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to be confronted with this very reality. He gave His all. What did I give? So my works can be a matter of convenience. If it's convenient, I will give that person a tract. If it's convenient, I'll open my mouth and testify of God. If it's convenient, but here's the problem. When we start basing our work on convenience, you know what usually happens? Well, if we're basing it on convenience, you will find this usually is inconvenience. I've got to actually put effort to get up and go do what He wants me to do. Well, how about some more convenient time? I seem to remember some man in the Word of God that said some more convenient time when the Lord was dealing with him about salvation. Some more convenient time. You know, if we pull that some more convenient time on God, it will become very real that there is not a more convenient time. When it comes to salvation, it says now's the point of time. Now's the time. You wait. I mean, I've taken quite a few tests in my life. School. Too many tests. They give you an assignment, and they give you, this is when you take the test. This is when it, and or an assignment, this is when it's due by. It's convenient to finish it before it's due. If it's not due anymore, I mean, if it's past that date, it's too late. So I found that when I was in school, I had to actually put in effort and work and try so that I could accomplish that, so it was done when it needed to be done. It wasn't about convenience. In our Christian life, our service to Him, our good works are not about convenience. It's about obedience. We can look at Philippians chapter 2 for that. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I don't have to tell anybody that was not convenient. But He did it out of obedience. In our life, are our works out of obedience? Is our service to Him out of obedience. Because only obedience fulfills His work in our lives. Only obedience. Convenience doesn't. I could tell you a few stories about that. We're kind of running out of time. Convenience doesn't work. See, if you wait for convenience, I waited for 10 years for convenience to answer God's call in my life. That was 10 years too long. I should have just said, okay, God, you call me to preach, I'll obey. I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do so that I can get to where you want me to be so I can be. And do what you want. And I waited too long. Far too long. I could have accomplished a few more things for God. I could have just shown and proved His ministry in my life. But instead, I waited for convenience. Now, finally, God got a hold of me and said, if you don't get straight, you just... He said, get right. It's like, okay. Once I surrendered in obedience to what God had for my life, boy, it was much better. But in our life right now, and in your life, is your life a life that pictures His life? Who obeyed out of obedience, who exemplified works in surrender to the Heavenly Father. His life was patterned after good works. His life maintained good works. His life pleased the Father. We need to ask ourselves, what does my life look like? What does my life please? Does my life please Him? Or does my life please me? Because if my life pleases me, it means I'm doing the wrong works. What kind of works do I have in my life? What kind of pattern of works is in my life? What is it that I'm maintaining in my life? It's a very real question for each one of us. The real question is, what are we going to do about it? Tomorrow's a new day. Next week's a new week. Next month's a new month. Next year's a new year. What kind of patterns are you going to have in your life? We'll have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we'll have a time of invitation.